Do we want to move into the fan participation portion of the evening?
Absolutely.
We have a couple of fan-submitted questions that we wanted to have asked. Which the first one, Alika, if you want to type your question into the chat, and Shane, if you want to go ahead
and just a quick
read it when it comes up.
Just a quick shout out, one of my admins from the Degrassi group, they were messaging me about an admin thing and just said hello, Shane. So Kiara said hello.
Sorry, what's the name? Kiara?
Her name is Kiara, yes. She said
Kiara,
hello.
Hi.
So, yeah, no, Alika's first question is going to kick it off.
Shane.
And there it goes.
What was it like? To work on the movie Dog Pound opposed to your role as Spinner on Degrassi. I watched it recently and I was shooketh. It was so dark and heavy. You kind of summed it up there. It was very different. So Degrassi was filmed in Toronto and Dog Pound was filmed in one of the Maritime provinces, like out east. No, it's like
I'm just fucking with you.
Okay, it's in a province that's like pretty much like in the Atlantic Ocean, and it's called New Brunswick. And so I had never worked out of province before. The thing is, when you work on film sets in the city there, you tend to work with like some of the same crew members, some of the same cast members. It's it's a tight knit community. And then I went to a place where I didn't know a single person, and to a province I had never been there before, and I was living there for the better part of 2 months. And it was like very different from Degrassi. There was swearing. I had never worked on a movie before where the director was also one of the writers and you could just kind of change things on the fly. So if he didn't like something or if he wanted to make a change to a scene in the middle of it, he could just do it. That wasn't an option on Degrassi. Everything was like the script was the script and maybe you could stray from it a tiny bit. But for the most part, that's what you had to do because that script had to be like, you know, greenlit by the producers who then had to send it to the network people who then would come back with notes and then the writers would have to change it. So by the time it was ready to film, you couldn't change a fucking thing on it, but very different. It was much more like on the fly, heat of the moment, kind of, if you want to put it that way. Mm-hmm. They even changed the lead character's name. Who I can't remember what his original name was supposed to be, but his name ended up being Butch, and that was just a in the moment change for the most part from the director because his name is the actor is Adam Butcher, and he's just like, yeah, I don't whatever. Let's say it was Andrew. He's like, nah, your character's name is going to be Butch now. It's like, okay, we're just changing your lead character's name. Okay. So yeah, and there it was interesting. It didn't feel like it was a very like challenging experience. I never had to like draw on so much, and there was so much like darkness in the script, a lot of violence, a lot of like Degrassi dealt with some safe issues, but this felt like much rougher around the edges, if that makes any sense. So yeah, it was a great experience and a challenging one, but overall, like something that I learned a lot from about myself and about filmmaking. And yeah,
nice.
Thanks
for going so like in depth there.
I love it. No, I think that was great for.
It's no, we love having you on because you really do. You're just like, let me tell stories.
You give
let me,
us
like, give thoughtful
anecdotes.
Answers.
Yeah, you're
yeah. It's a blessing and a curse at some points. But if you like it, then I like it.
We love it.
We do.
Okay.
I think
okay.
It flushes out because I mean, a lot of people really do like I don't know how many opportunities these stories come into natural conversation like this. So I think it's just great for people to get that. And I think it's cool. Like, I've never heard of half this stuff before. So
yeah,
like, to know your firsthand. I mean, first of all, any province like in the Atlantic Ocean sounds super like isolated, and like you're not near any city centers, and so that just sounds like a completely different vibe from being in the middle of a city.
They do have their main most Americans have heard of Nova Scotia, Halifax. Yes. Like, okay, so it's like, you'll see, you have, this is a horrible map, but I'm going to try to do it reverse too. So you have Ontario, and then above that you have Quebec. And then as you start going towards the Atlantic, you have, first you come to New Brunswick, and then after New Brunswick, the last little part, that's Nova Scotia. And then above that is a little island called Prince Edward Island, which is a province. And then above that, there's this northern part latched onto northeastern Quebec called Newfoundland. That's technically Labrador. Newfoundland is a province in and of itself, but it's called Newfoundland, Labrador, or Labrador, Newfoundland. Anyway, but those four together are called the Maritimes. And during COVID, they actually somehow closed all access points to all Maritimes. That whole region was shut off from the rest of Canada because they didn't want to let anything in there. So it was more isolated than it normally is. But Halifax is actually, I have friends that live there. Mm-hmm. I've never been. I want to go. Mm-hmm. I hear it's a beautiful place. Aside from Moncton, where we filmed Dog Pound, I've never been anywhere else out east there.
Yeah.
I need to explore more of Canada. You have to explore all of Canada. I've explored some.
That's true.
Yeah. Our next question, and guys, I'm going to apologize in advance if we butcher your names because we don't know how
We only read them. We don't know how they're said.
But these all come from the Your Mom's Podcast Facebook group. Mm-hmm. If you want a chance to ask questions the next time we have Shane or somebody else on the show, we only accept them from members of the group. So if you haven't joined, you should. Iggy Vittori asks, how did it affect you to play a teenage guy with a pretty terrifying health condition?
I guess we're talking about the testicular cancer.
Yes. No, not the ADD.
It's ADD, obviously. You know, terrifying.
The ultra masculinity? No. it was terrifying. No. It was, I think I've said this in lots of auditions, but it was actually the first time that I really did a lot of research into a scenario. And this was like in the very early days of YouTube too. So it was not that easy to find videos and documentaries and like testimonials, if that's the right way to say it, on people who had survived testicular cancer, like to say what the pain was like and what the psychological effects were like after diagnosis, after surgery, things like that. Right. So it was, it was always a little bit removed because I knew I was playing this role, but for that one, I wanted to make sure that I did it properly and portrayed it in a way that was like sensitive and accurate to anyone who had gone through it. But I didn't find it scary. It was more like I saw it myself as like a real challenge and another chance to up the ante in my acting career and in my role as Spinner. Got to, you know, shave my head on camera and cry. I think for Yeah, the song.
Yes, I think we talked about it last time.
Yeah. Alexis on Fire. Yeah. And yeah. So, but in terms of like how did it feel to like do something like that? It was. As an actor, I was very excited and grateful that the producers were confident enough in what I was able to do to know that I could take on that challenge and do it well. And then I felt a lot of personal responsibility to knock it out of the park. And aside from that, I just wanted to make sure that I did it in a way that was realistic and honest, and that I didn't have any blowback from people going like, you kind of like, I didn't believe it, or I know someone that went through it, and you kind of like just scratched the surface, and I didn't buy it. So yeah,
it was very convincing. Like that's one of the scenes. I know Alika just said it in the chat, which makes me think about. That's why I love the song so much. I think the song's really powerful during it, but just like your face is very, the face acting. I mean, I know like not all of acting is face acting. Some of it's physical, whatever, but you do a really good job of just like the bringing the emotion to the scene. And I think it's one of the more memorable scenes, not even from like the era, but just like from the show for me. So definitely.
Yeah. It's, I think we said it last time and I swear it's not just lip service. Like, as we're really watching this show with like the level of scrutiny that we are, because you know I think we both have seen it so many times that all of our other rewatches, it's just kind of been background, you know, to a degree.
Yeah,
and like watching it with the scrutiny that we are, you from pretty early on shine through as one of like the stronger actors.
I mean, because we talk about the acting. We do. We talk about how convincing it feels for the character to be, like, for us, like, do we believe what's going on? Because obviously you're teenagers, like, some of the material is just, like, we just talked about the self-harm episode. And we had on someone who had never seen an episode of Degrassi before. So he was looking at it from the lens of just, like, at times
what
it took
is
me
this
out of
shit show.
That right, that too, but it's like at times some of the acting took me out of the storyline. And I think that there are storylines that you, especially we just did our iconic our namesake episode You Walked Down on
Pride.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so we did that and we just had to talk about like that scene. I don't know who, like there weren't too many actors in the show at that time who could have carried the scene as well as you and Adamo do. You do it very well.
Thank you.
And that's why it's so iconic, because like, even though I don't agree with Spinner in that conversation, like you believe that Spinner feels this way and it's nothing about the scene is taking you out of it.
Not even the way you say pasta.
Not even the way you say pasta.
Especially not the way I say pasta.
Which is impressive, because you could have been like, the record scratch, like, I'm sorry. What did that young man just say?
I can swear, and maybe I'm just making this up at this point to you know, save face, but I think, because I know, I grew up, like, it was never pasta, it was pasta. And Adamo is Italian, and he was definitely like pasta. So I feel like someone either told me that I should say it improperly, or that Adamo and I decided together. But that being said, I might have just fucked up, and now I'm just trying, like 20 years later, to make excuses for my inadequacies.
Whatever happened, we're glad it did.
Because
we wouldn't have a show name.
It brought us all together.
Look at that. Yes.
Full circle moment. Alika, was that a nod to today's episode?
I think...
You know me.
I love you so much.
Yes.
Avis, do you want to ask the next question? Yes, I gave you the harder name to pronounce.
I was
going to
say, did you give me this hard name?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm so sorry, Andrew. Okay. Andrew Bobulinski. Bobulinski. There's some Eastern European mess going on. I'm so sorry. Will you be participating in the upcoming documentary?
It's well known people are. I'm not sure if. Wow, I actually didn't know it was public knowledge that there was a documentary being made. I'm not sure if any of us are allowed to talk of it about it. I haven't heard anything to the contrary. Mm-hmm. But let's just say, without confirming or denying, that there's a good chance, but I don't know.
Fair. We do not want to get you in any contractual shenanigans.
I don't think so. I think it would make sense if I was involved, but that being said, I don't know.
All right.
I guess time will tell. Time will tell, Andrew.
I don't even think there's like a release, but yeah, we know about it. We know.
So our next question comes from Haley Fahey, and it may be my favorite question. If Spinner and Jimmy.
Oh, it's happened. Spinny.
If Spinner and Jimmy ever kissed, who was the initiator? And in what season do you think it was most likely to take place? And that's from Lee Fahey.
Okay. I would say it would be Spinner, because Spinner will like always be in Jimmy's debt. It probably would have come soon after, if not like the moment of reconciliation and like forgiveness. And I believe, I would think that Spinner would initiate for a couple of reasons. One, like it's the ball's in his court. It's his move. And I think Spinner's a gentleman. And if he saw that look in Jimmy's eyes, he wouldn't want to put it on Jimmy to have to make that move. Spinner makes the move.
Those bedroom eyes. Jimmy's shooting him the look. You know the look.
Everyone knows the look. And if you see that look, you have like 3 seconds most. And Spinner's not gonna miss out on that.
I would actually love that, like, that's kind of headcanon for me now. Like, there's just a moment. Like, there's, like, two ships in a passing sea. It's brief. The window closes almost as soon as it opens. If you don't jump in,
What
it would be with these two characters.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, Yeah. And then you just gotta go. Otherwise, you're just gonna be stewing in it later. Everyone's been on that date. Everyone's been on that date where you have that moment and no one makes the move, and then it's like, okay, well, bye. And then both people are pissed off after. And in this day and age, you could just text like, "I should have kissed you." It's like, yeah, you should have. Fuck. So yeah, no one wants that.
And that moment really sucks. That moment really sucks.
I know. So yeah, no, don't do it.
Don't
take your shot.
Shoot it. Yeah. You heard it here first. This is a shoot your shot encouragement pass.
But only if you're getting that look. Not if you're not getting the look. That's a totally different thing.
So
don't shoot that shot.
When in doubt, yeah, don't kiss Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When in doubt, we don't kiss Jimmy.
Yeah. We don't kiss.
And side note on that, there is a way to make asking sexy. Like, people are like, well, if you ask, it's not sexy. No, there, you can make it cute. You can you can kind of make it sexy.
And get that consent. Kind of very sexy. Me on our first date, and I married
her. I find
the
it very, right.
Yeah.
Same. Well, yeah. But I haven't married her yet, but I will.
That thing right there, lots of people are like, well, as soon as you ask, it kills the moment. Like, no, it doesn't. No. All you have to do, instead of like, going for the kiss, is going like, I really want to kiss you right now. And then if you're like, then do it. Then you got it. And it didn't kill anything. And it's awesome. And there's nothing left to chance. So fuck you, everyone who says that consent can't be sexy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I will still tell you, my whole thing is like, my life motto is ask for the things you want, because the worst case scenario, you're right back where you started. Mm-hmm. And the best case scenario, Joey Fatone buys you birthday dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Or Shane Kipple comes on your podcast. Not saying that that's great.
No,
I mean,
no, exactly. That was the
I had to. I had to.
You had to.
No, I mean,
that was exactly that conversation.
We got to ask him.
Yeah.
You know what it was, though, was that after you had sent the video, in the email that you sent the video, you were like, talk soon. Mm-hmm. And we were all like fangirling in the group chat. I took a screenshot.
What do you think that meant?
Business is done. Does he want us to ask him on the show? And then I was just like, okay, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
My assistant wrote that email for me, but no, I'm kidding.
Okay, well, your assistant deserves a raise, good sir.
Please.
Yes, you do. No.
We just have one last question from the Facebook group. From Nakia Lamb. And Nakia wants to know if it was hard or uncomfortable for you to be portrayed and act homophobic toward Marco in early seasons, or if you understood it was just for the role you played. They have always wondered if you got backlash or felt uncomfortable acting that way. Parentheses. They completely understand you were acting in a role and you never believed you were like that in real life. This is just like you felt. You know.
Well, it was very easy for me for Spinner to hate Marco's character because Shane Kipple could not stand Adamo or being in his presence at all. No, I'm fully kidding. Adamo's like a brother to me, and it was not hard to play. We were very young at this point, and because we were like acting these roles and we were doing it with our friends that we had known for years at this point, and we were getting bigger and bigger like as a show, it was just like it was more fun for us to like yell at each other and act like we hated each other when it was the exact opposite. So the hard truth is like it didn't even really cross my mind about like how do I hate Marco, how do I like draw on this like in a homophobic way because like Marco's character disgusts Spinner. It was more just like, all right, buddy, We're fucking enemies today. You ready? And I'm like, yeah. And I mean, that's one of the things that you learn as you grow up on camera. And now looking back on those episodes, one of the reasons I don't like to watch them is because knowing what I know about acting right now versus how it was executed back then with all of us, that we were just like, to different degrees, but we were like, experiencing this stuff for the first time, we were young kids trying to like figure out what acting was, what our place was in this whole thing, where those separations were between us and our characters. And a lot of the time we were having such a great time that it was just more about like our relationship together and getting to do things that were atypical to our relationship as friends. Mm-hmm. So like same sort of thing, like when Spinner suddenly was not friends with Jimmy and any of that crowd because they found out that Spinner played a role in getting Jimmy shot. Mm-hmm. It was just more like every time we had scenes together where they were ganging up on Spinner and talking shit. Mm-hmm. It was just laughs because we were, first of all, happy to be back on set together because when I wasn't in that group of friends anymore, I barely got to film with them. But the odd time that I did, it was all just jokes. And then it's like, all right, back to, you know, hating each other again. So I wish there was a much more like, you know, proper theater or like answer as an actor. It was like, well, I just drew. But it was more just fun to like yell at your friends and do it in a convincing way. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think it shows through that there's authenticity somewhere. Maybe if it's not in the, like, maybe it's just in the relationship between you guys. I always love the scenes with you and Adamo. I don't know what it is about, even though like your relationship is not great, especially in the earlier seasons.
No, but you guys have really good chemistry.
You have great chemistry. And even when you're like, even when you are taught, like your character is talking shit to his character, I'm just like, I love these guys. Like,
I know.
I want them to be friends and not like frenemies, like friends. Yeah.
And that's how we felt when we were on set together, because like it was just laughing and jokes and jokes. And there were some scenes where like we were legitimately pissing the director off and like other crew members, because we were just, we couldn't stop like telling jokes and laughing. And then we were ruining our makeup because we were crying laughing. Then we have to go back to like fuck you, no fuck you. And that made it that much more funny. And it was just a vicious circle of love between all of us. So like there were some very, very serious moments, like they translated as very serious on camera in the context of like what the episode was and what the scene was. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time, like when we were like just so like pissed off at each other, it was more just just us trying to like throw on a serious face when we just wanted to like laugh and tell jokes with each other. So
well, a testament to the fact that it comes across very well. You guys are actors.
Yes.
But yeah, we have some weird questions for you, Shane.
No, before we do that,
we wanted to stroke you a little bit. Sorry.
Yeah.
Stroke me.
Stroke you. Right. And that is not as nasty as it sounds, so, guys. Get your head out
of the gutter. You said it. I didn't say it. I just wanted to clarify what you said.
I knew exactly what I was doing.
I know.
So we, in anticipation of tonight, you know, we've been trying to build our social media game a bit. And so we shared the Cameo again. And we wanted to share with you our favorites of the thirstiest comments. Coming in hot right off the top. But I'll do the second one too, because you're not going to want to pronounce that. There's two in the first screenshot.
So I'll do the set. Yes. Great.
So these are these are responses to the Cameo.
Yes, these are some things that people have to say about your promo for our show. Starting with our audience member Alika Fenderson, who double two hard eyes emojis said, "I'll never get tired of hearing this man speak." And then Ali Trinajdik. I'm so sorry, Ali, or Ali, sorry. They said, "Yep, he still does it for me," with the little like sweaty emoji. Several people agreed.
Next up, we have Kendra Bible saying, "I'm right here, Spinner," with several laughing emojis. I laughed at that one because it was fairly funny to me. But next up, we also have Olivia Henson saying, "Cannot wait," with two hard eye emojis and a gif of a nun fanning herself. And yes, it is all caps. "Cannot wait" is in all caps. So
Over on the TikTok, Cynthia Leanne Neekum said, "I appreciate him being fine when I was a teen and also fine in my 30s.
The highest compliment.
And last but not least, Shay Love shared a really cute gif of what I think is herself that says, "I can look at that all day."
Oh, jeez.
So in case you were feeling down on yourself, just know, like, the ladies, you could still get it.
The lady, like, the internet thirst over you is heavy and alive. It's alive and well. With, like, little Tinder. Like, we literally reshared this. Like, we didn't even need to put kindling on the fire for
I reshared it yesterday, and, like, we got, like, 80 new TikTok followers from that alone.
They're flocking for you, Shane.
If there's thirst out there, who am I to hold back the hydration. You know what I'm saying? Come find me. Come find me.
You heard it.
It's but a water bottle in the desert.
just a mere oasis. Not a mirage, an actual oasis.
Alika shooting her shot there in the chat. Get
oh my
girl.
Gosh, Alika.
You are
a handsome man, sir. Always wanted to tell you that.
Thank you. Thank
never
you.
Get, she
I
said,
appreciate.
Never get tired of looking at you either. I love it. I love it. Like,
I'm glad that this light that's coming down right now is not showing them probably like blushing right now. Because, yes, I have feelings too.
you have reactions to things.
I do. And please tell, I mean, everyone who hears this, and obviously you are our awesome audience member here. Thank you. I do my best, and I'll keep trying to keep myself at this state or better.
Yes.
For you, for me, for you, for everyone.
Win, win, win. Yeah.
Yeah.